The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private. Trust Ireland's leading private hospitals with locations nationwide, including Dublin, Cork and Limerick.
This is News Talk.
Now we'll be talking about what Boris Johnson is likely to propose by way of restrictions in the UK later on tonight. But speaking this morning, the Labour Party leader, Sir Keir Starmer, expressed his disappointment and anger at Boris Johnson's approach to the current crisis, flitting between wishing the problem away or lashing out.
The second thing I've learned is that a crisis reveals character like nothing else. And I think we've learnt a lot about this Prime Minister. Tory backbenchers know it. His cabinet knows it. We all know it. He's just not serious. He's just not up to the job. When he encounters a problem, Johnson responds either by wishing it away or by lashing out. He kept wishing away the problems with testing, pretending they didn't exist. He wished away the problems with the Irish border. Then, when he finally realised what he'd signed up to, he lashed out and decided to break international law. We're all doing our bit to combat the virus by obeying the rule of six. Meanwhile, the government won't even obey the rule of law. And this is the big difference between the Prime Minister and me. Whilst Boris Johnson was writing flippant columns about bendy bananas, I was defending victims and prosecuting terrorists. While he was being sacked by a newspaper for making up quotes, I was fighting for justice and the rule of law.
That's the Labour Party leader in Britain, Sir Keir Starmer. Well, will Boris Johnson up his game when he addresses the nation tonight at 8 o'clock, announcing more restrictions in terms of COVID-19? Already, you may know, stricter localised measures have come into play in Lancashire, on Merseyside, parts of the Midlands and West Yorkshire. George Parker is political editor of the Financial Times. He's on the line now. George, good morning.
Morning.
Now, can you remind us of the status of things? How many people are in lockdown and how severe is that lockdown?
Well, already there is a series of, as you mentioned, there are a series of local lockdowns in place across the UK, but in fact, they're becoming more like regional lockdowns. I think something like one in five people now in the UK are covered by some kind of local restriction. But the significance of what we're going to see today is this is Boris Johnson basically reintroducing new national restrictions right across the board. They're hoping to do this across England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland as well, starting with a blanket 10 p.m. Closure time for all pubs, restaurants and bars. So basically the start of the ratchet, really, of restrictions being introduced right across the UK.
So irrespective of how well you're doing, you will still, your bars will close at 10. And irrespective of how badly you're doing, your bars will remain open.
For the time being, yes. We'll get more detail about this from Boris Johnson in the House of Commons around about lunchtime. But clearly, there is other measures are being held in reserve. Things are moving incredibly fast and much faster than, frankly, Boris Johnson expected. It was only a week ago that he announced this so-called rule of six to ban gatherings of more than six people, which was seen at the time as quite a big step. And they wanted to see how this played out before doing anything else. Well, literally 8 days later, they're doing a whole load of new stuff. So I think it's quite possible that we're going to see national restrictions, as I mentioned, of a 10 p.m. closure time for pubs and places, but maybe even tougher restrictions coming down the track, particularly in areas affected by high rates of infection.
Now, one of the problems with this coronavirus is that after you are infected, it may take a while for you to become symptomatic. In this pre-symptomatic phase, you are still capable of shedding virus and infecting other people. You may remain throughout the experience asymptomatic and be shedding virus. So there's always a lag between infection and, if you like, confirmed incidence of the virus. So we're always kind of trying to play catch up. How bad are things in the UK at the moment in terms of numbers of infections and also in terms of rising deaths?
Well, you're right about the lag, and that's obviously bedeviled policymakers across the world, really, in responding to this virus. The latest number of daily cases in the UK, I think, is running at around 3,500 to 4,000 people, new cases a day. But we heard yesterday from the government's chief scientific advisor that if the disease, and this is a bit of a big if here, but if the disease continued on its current trajectory of doubling every 7 or 8 days, that by the middle of October, we could be seeing 50,000 new cases a day across the UK. And that in turn, because of that lag you mentioned, Pat, would turn to about 200 deaths a day by mid-November. So that's the kind of trajectory that Boris Johnson is trying to shift by introducing these new restrictions today.
Is he trying to get ahead of this dreadful curve? Is that the idea, that if you stomp it out now, that the bushfire may not rage?
Yeah, that's precisely it. They want to basically change the way people live their lives, socialise, in the hope that they can somehow protect the core parts of the economy. So the hospitality sector, I'm afraid, is going to take a big hit. But I think ministers have taken the view that that's a price that we're going to have to pay if we want to preserve, you know, the businesses and indeed the schools that some people deem so vital for the country. So this is the point. They're aiming for people's social lives at the moment. They think it makes more sense to have people restricted in their time in pubs. By the way, if you go to a pub in England from Thursday, you won't be able to stand at the bar. You'll have to have table service, in the hope that you can keep schools open and keep businesses going.
We already in Ireland have restrictions on what they call the wet pubs. They've only opened since yesterday outside of the Dublin area, and they come with these restrictions: no bar service, all table service, social distancing, and so on and so forth. In Dublin, the wet bars, so-called, the ones that don't serve food, are closed and will remain closed for at least 3 weeks. So it'll be interesting to see what happens north of the border, where the pubs in the Republic, for example, in the border areas, will be allowed to stay open till 11:30. Pubs in Northern Ireland may have to close at 10. And will there be a trek across the border for a late pint? We shall see. It's just one of those border effects, shall we say. The question of how well the public will accept these. I mean, is there a sense of palpable danger that this thing is running away with itself and therefore we have to obey and do it not grudgingly but willingly? Or has Dominic Cummings, but it's the same thing, Boris Johnson burnt his political capital?
Well, there are concerns in the British cabinet that the British public may be getting tired of the whole interference in their daily lives and maybe more resistant to new restrictions this time around than they were back in the spring. And certainly you're starting to pick up now, much more than previously, a pushback from Conservative MPs who don't like this stuff at all. They think it's unconservative. They don't like a Tory government telling people what to do. They're very upset about the idea of ministers urging people to snitch on their neighbours if they're breaking the rules. And there are Tories who are worried about the impact on the economy of yet another round of restrictions. So there is a big pushback, and there are concerns among ministers that the public this time will be more reluctant to go along with the restrictions. I'm not so sure about that. It's very hard to tell. I'm no expert on human psychology, but certainly the previous experience in the UK was that the public went into sort of lockdown crouch position before the government did. And I just wonder whether the sight of government scientific advisers warning about 50,000 cases a day and, you know, just seeing Boris Johnson doing national addresses live on television, that will actually change people's behaviour in a way that maybe politicians aren't expecting.
Do you think that the shadow of Dominic Cummings' famous trip to Barnard Castle is still hanging over the government in some way? You know, one rule for them and another rule for me.
Definitely. In fact, that moment was the moment where the government lost the confidence of the British public to a large extent. I mean, it seems like a ridiculous thing to say, but it's absolutely true. You look at the opinion polls. That was the moment where people's trust in the government's ability to handle this pandemic was changed, and the trajectory has been down since then. Because, as you say, you know, it looked like they were they were flouting their own rules and then being dishonest about what they'd done. So I think that does hang over the government. I think that's one of the reasons why ministers are anxious about whether the public will say, well, hang on a sec, one rule for them, one rule for us. But equally, my sort of just anecdotally, you still get the sense that people are still pretty worried about this virus. And just, you know, I cycle into the House of Commons every day and the roads in central London are still pretty quiet. The City of London is, to a large extent, a ghost town. Lots of people are staying at home. And I should say one other thing that Boris Johnson will do today in the UK is he will tell people that they should stay at home and work from home if possible, which is a complete reversal, as you'll recall, of the message they were putting out just 2 or 3 weeks ago, where they were urging people to go back into the office, with one unnamed government source saying that you were more likely to get sacked by your company if you were staying at home to work. So they're turning the position on its head. And, you know, one of the things just mentioned very quickly, of course, they're now imposing restrictions on pubs and restaurants when literally until the end of August, they were subsidising people to go out to restaurants with the discounted meal scheme.
Now, there was going to be a tentative return to spectators at sport. Are we looking at maybe not alone the reverse, but even the cessation of some elite sport like the Premier League?
Well, certainly Michael Gove, the Cabinet Office Minister, said today that the government was suspending plans to get people back into live sporting events from the beginning of October. I don't think that's a massive surprise to anyone. But, you know, nobody yet is talking about the suspension of the Premier League or other elite sports. But you don't have to be, you know, a soothsayer, really, to see that once you start getting the more prevalence of the disease in society, unless you are absolutely rigorous in imposing a sort of bubble around the squads of Premier League teams, there's a danger that the disease starts to run through football clubs as it does in society more generally, matches having to be postponed, and then eventually the whole league being put on ice as it was last year. Let's hope that doesn't happen. As a Crystal Palace supporter, with my team riding high in the Premier League at the moment, I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
A famous victory last Saturday.
Absolutely.
And that, now, I'm on the other side of that particular argument, George, so I was disappointed, but there you go. The question of the restrictions that they're going to impose, allied to that, will there be any good news? For example, we know, much touted in the last week, there was a shortage of testing supplies, so that the testing program that they had hoped to embark upon cannot be fulfilled fully. So, will there be a remedy for that, number one? That might be good news. And secondly, the availability of the flu vaccine, because we're entering flu season, do they have enough guaranteed supplies for people so that they can mix the bad news with a little bit of positive stuff?
Well, on the testing front, I mean, it's certainly true that the government's test and trace scheme has been overwhelmed by demand over the last few weeks. And as a consequence, people who need tests are not able to get them. And that's adding to the problem. And just interesting that here Keir Starmer, the Labour leader on your clip earlier on, was saying that if there is a second lockdown, it won't be because it's an act of God. It will be a sign of failure by the government, and the government's failure to have enough tests in place for the whole country at a time when you'd expect them to be needing more testing at the start of the autumn is a serious problem. On the flu vaccine front, I've not heard that there's any danger of the flu vaccine running out, and my kids all got their shots this week. So I think that's probably okay at the moment. Certainly the government's encouraging more people to have flu shots this year than would normally be the case.
All right. Well, we shall await the news given to the House of Commons at lunchtime, but then an address to the UK public later on at 8 o'clock tonight. George Parker, political editor at the Financial Times, thank you very much for joining us.